As Jesus came to Jericho, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus who shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The people tried to keep him quiet. He kept on shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Bring him here." And asked him, "What is it that you would have of me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And that brings up an important question for us. Did Bartimaeus' faith have a power of its own? Or did his faith bring him into contact and cry out to the one who is almighty? See, at the bottom of that is really important. I have a friend that was born blind. He told me years ago that some people came up to him and they said, "Alan, if you would just have faith, you could see." He looked at me and said, "Do you think that's true? Is it because I don't have faith? Because I want to see." You see, what they're doing is they're saying that the power is in your faith. And that's convenient, isn't it? Because if I can see, and if I'm relatively successful, I can pat myself on the back and say, "Well, I must have enough faith." But those who are struggling, those who are having hardships, it must be because of their lack of faith. I don't think so. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are blessed beyond words in so many ways. And Lord, we are thankful for all that you have done for us and continue to do in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to have a faith that is rock solid. A faith that believes in you and who you are. Thank you, Almighty God. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me at this time, that you'll help me to speak from your word to your glory. Help me just to get out of the way, Lord. May your word shine through. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. We are talking about the story of Lazarus. And we've not met Lazarus yet because he's dead. We will meet him, but not yet. We're talking about faith. Verse 17. "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother." So Jesus came. And he finds out, probably asked, although I think Jesus already knew, that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. So again, when he got the message, Lazarus was already dead. Jesus didn't hang out and wait back to give Lazarus time to die. I think that paints a picture of Jesus that's not very good. He knew he was already dead. Now, why is 4 days important? Because the Jewish people believed that it took 3 days. They said, keep visiting the tomb up until 3 days, because the soul is going to be hovering around the body. And if it finds an opportunity, it will go back into the body, and then he'll be alive. After 3 days, the soul will depart, the body begins to change color, maybe even have a certain smell, well, before 3 days. And the soul will leave. Now, that's not Bible, by the way. That's how they came to terms with the reality that some people seem to be dead and then woke up. I mean, we have stories like that throughout history, right? Years ago in Missouri, there was this old farmer, and his wife died, and they thought she was dead. They were in the coffin and everything, and they were transporting her across this field, and some men stepped and stumbled over a rock, and the casket fell to the ground, and she woke up. Well, they lived together like 5 more years, and then she died again. And so they're going across the same path, and he stops and says, "Now careful, gentlemen, this is where you jostled her awake last time." Okay, now, so we know, sometimes people appear to be dead, and for whatever reason, they wake up. So the Jewish people are trying to interpret that. And they said, okay, this is what's going on. The soul lingers there, looking for an opportunity to be back in the body. I do believe that Jesus waited 2 days so that there could be no doubt. Jesus did not go and then Lazarus was revived because the soul found an opportunity to come back in. Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There could be no doubt. That's why the Jewish leadership is going to become so angry about this. They could not discount it. There's another thing going on. Bethany, we're told, is 15 stadia away from Jerusalem. That's just under 2 miles. And some of the Jewish people. Now, sometimes when John says the phrase the Jews, he's talking about the Jewish leaders, and some of my translations translate it that way. I don't think in this context it means Jewish leaders. Some of the Jewish people from Jerusalem have traveled less than 2 miles to comfort Mary and Martha. That means that it's dangerous for Jesus to be there. It's only 2 miles away. Any number of these Jewish people there to comfort Martha and Mary may say, "Wow, Jesus is here. I'm going to go tell the leaders." It's only 2 miles away. So just as the disciples feared, this is a very dangerous situation for Jesus. Verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." So Martha hears that Jesus is in town. She leaves. Here's what I think is going on. We're told that Mary is still sitting in the house. I don't think Martha bothered to tell her. Because as soon as Mary finds out, she runs. So I don't think Martha told her and then she said, "Well, I'll just hang out, you go." She didn't know. Martha was so excited, she didn't even stop to think about telling Mary. She wanted to see Jesus. Last Sunday night, we watched this video about revival. And the gentleman that was doing this, he said, revival, I'm not saying that God is not present in the church, because he is, but revival, when revival happens, you'll get together and you'll be so excited to be together, you won't want to go home. Now, see, I've been praying for revival. So today's sermon, I'm kidding. Although I might not be, I don't know. Wherever the Spirit leads me. I think Martha just wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. And she got so excited, she didn't even bother to tell anybody else. She just went. And notice her statement. You could take her statement a couple of different ways. She said, "If you had been here." That could be an accusation. Matter of fact, some people translate it that way. I don't think it is. I think it's a statement of fact. "Lord, I am convinced that if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." It is a statement of faith in the power of Jesus Christ. And she says, "Even now, whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you." I have two translations that completely butcher that. In my humble opinion. But it's true. They're just completely wrong. They have Martha saying, "Lord, I know you can raise him from the dead." That is not what Martha means. Because in the very next breath, Jesus is going to say, Lazarus will be raised from the dead. And if she meant now, she would have said, let's go get him. That's not what she does. And later when he says, roll away the tomb, she would have been sitting back going, oh, wait a minute, it's going to stink in there. She had no concept of Lazarus being raised from the tomb right now. That's not what she's saying. What she is saying is, I wish things went like this, but I still believe in you. Now, isn't that an incredible statement of faith? I am so much more impressed with people who have that kind of faith in God that says, I wish this didn't happen, but I still believe in you, God. No matter how messed up this life is, are we ever going to make sense of 58 people shot to death in a crowd? We live in a fallen world, and there is a part of us that wants God to make it stop. And when he doesn't, we have to wrestle with. But you see, the problem is, if we expect that God's going to keep those things from happening to us, we have a faith in what God will do for us and not in who God is. See, Martha is saying, I know you could have done this for me, and you weren't here to do it, but I still believe in you. That is faith. That's faith. No matter what happens, no matter how people treat me, no matter what's done, no matter how many people grab a gun and shoot people, no matter even if it's somebody that I love, no matter if they get sick, no matter if I lose my job, no matter what happens, God, I believe in you. Amen. Can we say it? Yeah. Oh, sure, I would like for God to keep things from happening, and sometimes he does, praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes we get the job we've been praying about. Sometimes our loved ones do get better. We pray. But sometimes they don't. I've told you this before, but it's my family's coming to visit us, driving, and they get past Billings. And they crash. My mom broke her back. Both my sisters broke their necks. My first response was, God, what in the world? I've been praying. It's a natural response, and I know that, but deep down, it is saying that, Lord, I'll believe in you if you take care of my family when they're driving. I had a young man tell me, I don't believe in God. Not the only young person that's told me that, but you know, this one is... And he was angry, and he said, I don't believe in God because I asked him for things and he never gave them to me. You see what's going on? He's saying, I'm only going to believe in a God if he does what I want him to do. I'm going to treat him like some kind of pocket genie. I take him out of my pocket, and he says, what can I do for you, master? And that's how a lot of people treat God, right? If you pray in faith, have you heard this before? God has to do what you're asking him for. I do a thing about prayers out at, with the students out at YCC, the Youth Correction Center, and I ask them, if God has to do what I ask for, because I prayed in faith, I put in the right amount of faith, who's in the position of power? And these kids, most of them have zero relationship with God, say, well, that puts you in the position of power. And they're right. We want to be in the position of power where we have this almighty genie that will do whatever we ask him. I was watching the news this morning, and during the commercial I flipped it over, and there was this guy saying, if you have a faith that relies completely on God, he will make your business do well. And again, it says my faith is about a God and what he'll do for me when I ask it of him. I'd much rather have a faith that when I'm knocked down, out of breath, not knowing what's going to happen, that I can still turn to Him and say, but Lord, I believe in You.
Amen.
Have you been there?
Yes, yes.
That's the kind of faith that's going to last. That's the kind of faith that's going to be a rock solid faith that says, I wish it would have gone this way like Martha. I wish You would have been here. I wish my brother didn't die. But even now I know that You have power. I still believe in You. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So Jesus says, your brother is going to come back to life. I love Martha. Because again, she's not thinking about right now. She's thinking, most of the Jews believed in a resurrection. It was only the Sadducees that said there was no such thing as a resurrection. This life is it. Most of the Jews believed in a resurrection at the last days. There is going to be a resurrection and all people are going to come back to life. And so what she is saying is, okay, yeah, I believe. I know. I know He will in the resurrection, Lord. And isn't that interesting? I know a lot of people say that. And we comfort ourselves with that, and rightfully so. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she and my dad are very much aware that they may not have much life left. And she said, you know, I might not ever see you again in this life. Because we have a hope, don't we? We believe. See, I don't expect God to raise my parents out of the tomb until Jesus comes back again. Then I expect they'll be up in the sky, and if I've died, I'll be up there with them, and we will be partying with Jesus on the way to the home to the Father.
Yeah.
And as we talked about last week, that'll change how you live right now. If you believe that. I was, after I was done talking to my mom, I'm talking to my dad, and he's saying the same thing. His brother is on hospice. And he said, that was hard for a while. This is his last brother living. And he's not going to get to go see him. They can't do it. And he said, but I look forward. Because we will be together again. And so my dad and I had this conversation that we've never had really before. And we talked about that moment. That moment when we see, man, what a reunion that's going to be. And it's not going to be, well, maybe it will be, I don't know. It's not going to be like that crazy family reunion where everybody's nuts, you know? I mean, maybe it will be because they're still going to be a part of us. But we'll be made like Jesus. It's going to be cool. And we'll be able to see all those great people of faith, some in our families and some outside of our families, people who have inspired us. And this is not the end of the story. And we need to stop living like this is it. I'm on an eternal path. I hate what happened last week. I hate that we live in a place where we're just waiting for the next mass murder to be the worst mass murder. I hate that all of those families have been disrupted. I hate that how many people are in the hospital now and are going to have to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. I hate that. But what I want them to know, this is not it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want somebody to rise up and shoot me dead. But if they do, that's not the end. I'm going home with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will live out eternity in the house of my God, the Father. This is not the end. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Two of my translations butcher that. And it happens to be the same too. They have Jesus saying, well, I have the power to resurrect life and to give life. That's not what he says. And there is a difference. He says, I am. In the Gospel of John, there are several I am statements. And Jesus is claiming to be the great I am. And he is saying, there are aspects of who I am that you need to understand. I am the resurrection. I am the life. So if you want resurrection and life, your faith has no power to get you there except for to bring you into contact with the one who is resurrection and life. Faith is not trusting in what God's going to do with you, and it has no power in itself except for that you believe in the one who does have power. I am the resurrection and life. Now, I'm going to ask what sounds like a very stupid question, but it needs to be asked. Do you want resurrection and life? Do you? You know what you got to do. You got to go to Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. That's what he's saying. He says, if you believe in me, if you put your trust in me, you will live even if you die. Now, that in that verse, the word die means physically. What he's saying is that this life is not the end. Even if you die, you will continue to live. And do we wonder why it's called good news? Isn't that good news? Because you see, if this life is it, 58 people just had their life snuffed out by somebody we don't even know what in the world he's thinking of. Boom, gone like that. With no meaning. There's no meaning in that. You can't find meaning in that. But if there's life beyond this, then whatever happens to me here, it's just getting me ready for there. So we believe and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, if you believe in me, you will never die. Now he's talking about spiritual death. Yeah, I'm pretty confident of that because everybody that heard these words died physically. So now he's saying, okay, that you need to understand that if you believe and here's another thing that's so important. Living and believing for Jesus or in Jesus are very much connected. See, you're probably aware of somebody who says, well, I believe in Jesus. And it means nothing in their life. Jesus says, I want you to live and believe in me. See, if you believe in Jesus, that's going to affect how you live. And that's so much more than a Sunday morning listening to me say stuff. That's Monday. That's Tuesday, Wednesday. That's every moment that you have. Are you living and believing in Jesus Christ? And if you are, then you will never, ever die.
You'll never be separated from God.
I'm pretty sure that's what that spiritual death is all about.
You will never be separated from God. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And again, you got to love Martha's response. Some of the translations get it a little bit wrong. They say, yes, yes, Lord, I believe, putting it in the present tense. That's not what she says. She says, yes, Lord,
I have believed. This is not her first moment where this is not her epiphany.
She says, for some time now, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the one that we've all been waiting for. I believe that you are the Son of God.
Now, what that meant to Martha,
I'm not sure. Because often when they talked in the Jewish religion, when they talked about being somebody, the Son of God, they were talking about kings. Psalm 2. Or the nation as a whole being the child of God. And so maybe what she's saying is, you are the Christ, the one who's going to sit on the throne of David forever, the Son of God. You are the one who comes into the world, probably coming from Psalm 118.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And many of the Jewish people began to think that that must be a messianic promise. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And where is he going to come? Into the world. And so Martha has this great, great statement. And you know what's interesting about this? In the other Gospels, it is Peter who has this great statement of faith. Not even mentioned in John. Where does he put it? Now, don't get me wrong. I think they both had these great statements of faith, and none of them are just putting them where they want. Why does John mention Martha and not Peter?
Because he's writing, and the others were too, I know, but they were emphasizing different things.
He's writing to a male-dominant society that says that women are second, if that, value. So John, when he recalls the life of Jesus, he says, you know who I remember saying this great statement of faith? It was Martha. I'm convinced that someone in the audience went, a woman? Are you sure? Don't you mean Peter, John? I mean Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter! And John says, oh no, I remember it was Martha. You see, when it comes to moments of faith, there is no gender. Men do not have a leg up on faith. Matter of fact, in a lot of cultures, they have a leg down. The biggest problem in Honduras was a lot of men felt that religion was a woman thing. Sentimentalism. That's just for women. So who do you think it was harder to instill faith in Honduras? Men! It was the women who had these great faith moments. Faith doesn't know gender. It absolutely knows no gender. I mean, in John's day,
in John's day, she would not have been allowed to go into the synagogue to study the Word of God. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now they'll serve God by having babies. That's what they thought. And so John says, let me tell you who made this incredible statement of faith. It was Martha from Bethany. That small little town just outside of Jerusalem. That's who made this great statement of faith. Faith and spirituality and trust in God knows no gender. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, the color of your skin, your social status, how much money you make. I was that program that I mentioned that said that this, you know, faith, God will make you successful. They mentioned this one preacher that trusted completely in God, and then all of a sudden, after years, he was making millions of dollars a year, which was unprecedented for preachers. And I'm like, you know why? Because they understand they don't need that kind of money. They were reducing faith to a dollar amount. We know he had faith because he made millions of dollars. Faith doesn't care how much money you make.
Faith is just trusting. Believing.
If I want resurrection and life, I come to the Lord and Savior who is resurrection and life. And I don't trust in my ability to get there. I trust in His ability to raise me from the dead. And the good news is, on a spiritual level, He's already done that. Right? Now, He might have to do that over and over again in our lives. Or is that just me? But He is the resurrection. He is the life. And if we believe in Him, we can continue to be raised and live in Him. And when it's all said and done, we will continue to live with the Father in heaven. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pray for revival. Because I want to know Jesus more and more every day. I want to know Jesus that gets me more excited about what Jesus is doing in my life than the fact that the Steelers are playing today. Right?
Yes.
I don't know where I'm going with that other than this. I'll watch them play. Jesus and I will be on the couch. I just want to be overwhelmed by the presence of who Jesus is. And when He does something that I've been asking for Him to do in this physical world, I want to praise Him. I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to say, oh, it's the doctors or the new medication. I want to praise God. But I don't want my faith to be in what God is going to do for me. I want my faith to be in who God is. A faith that will always trust in God, no matter how scary this world might be. I'm still working on that. Because sometimes I don't understand. And sometimes I'm afraid and overwhelmed. But praise God, even in those moments, I could say, Lord, I wish You would take this from me, but thank You. I believe in You. If there's anyone here this morning, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God heals. I believe that God breaks into our physical reality and does some amazing things. But I also believe ultimately it comes down to believing in God no matter what. And if you would love to have some prayers of your family here, I encourage you. If you want to know more about our God, we love God. We love when we see God working around us. And we do all the time. If you want to know more about our God, let us know.